Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The elder asked, "Who are these arrayed in white?" And answered, "Those coming out of the great tribulation." The millennialists dream that this is some 7 years of tribulation that is yet to come in the future, and that faithful Christians will be snatched out of this world before it ever comes. Similarly, the prosperity gospel proponents claim that if you're a faithful Christian, God will reward you already in this life with popularity, possessions, and power. So if calamity strikes, you must not be a faithful Christian. But notice, the Holy Spirit speaks in a very different way when He uses the present tense in our text, the ones who are coming out of tribulation. That was happening already in the first century. It continues throughout the New Testament period. Acts 14, "We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God." And so in the previous chapter of Revelation, the Holy Spirit has described the tribulation that believers will endure in this world, with riders of ruin going forth, with war, economic disparity, and pestilence. Perhaps John recognized some of the people in this host. The disciples had recognized Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe he saw Stephen, the first martyr, or the other apostles that had been martyred. At this time, John tells us in his first chapter, he himself was exiled on the island of Patmos, notice, as a companion in tribulation for the testimony of Christ. So notice what a comfort it was then for John to see this host. People who, like him, had been persecuted and afflicted for Christ. The world had thought nothing of them. But God declared that these people, holding on to the blood of Jesus, are now in my fullness of joy. How many of them do you know? Grandparents? Parents? Relatives? Friends? People who, despite the affliction and this veil of tears, lift up their eyes of faith to sing praise to the blood of the Lamb. They have reached the goal. They have been delivered from the tribulation of this sin-cursed world and are in fullness of joy. Our text is leading us to join them in a celebration of salvation now as well as eternally. Verse 16 and 17, "They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Who are these arrayed in white? The elder also answers, the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is no other way of salvation. And there is no second or third level of salvation. Everyone who has the simplest faith in Jesus' blood will participate in that glory. They have been washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. They've been covered with that perfect white robe, the marriage garment of Christ's bride. And verse 9 tells us they come from every nation and tribe and people and tongue. The gospel is meant for all. And the very universality of this message demonstrates that everyone needs this cleansing from Jesus' blood. There's no one, with no exception, who can say, "Well, look at all the good I've done. I deserve to be in this host in white." In ourselves, our robes are filthy. Filthy with sin that actually tries to throw God off His throne. For every time we're seeking to do my own thing, rule my own life, we're setting ourselves up in God's place. But this God so loves you that He invites all to come and be washed in the blood of Christ. John 1, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." 2 Corinthians 5, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. For He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We don't have to be Jewish. We don't have to be Anglo-Saxon. Our salvation is not dependent on being a member of the Catholic Church or the CLC. It's only through repentant faith in Jesus that this washing and cleansing in His blood is yours. Sometimes people object to salvation through Christ alone, saying, "That's unfair discrimination. Surely a God of love would not limit salvation to one way." But how foolish. God, for example, has also revealed that only those who take in nutrition receive what they need for their bodies to live. And yet, no one objects that that is unfair discrimination. People can pilgrimage to Mecca till they drop. They can wear out their rosaries. But as long as they refuse to eat, nothing will help. God has just as clearly revealed that it's only by being washed in the blood of Christ that we can be saved. He sacrificed His only beloved Son to bring that cleansing to you, to all. Those who refuse to believe this gracious salvation are bringing death on themselves, just as certainly as those who refuse to eat. Who are these arrayed in white? God wants you to be among those who say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for me," so that, yes, you may be among this host in white. For soon, and it may be sooner than we think, through repentant faith, we will join that white-robed choir and the ultimate doxology. Verse 10, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels themselves will join in the chorus. Amen. Wisdom and glory and blessing, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 656, stanza 1.